Manuscript Releases, Volume 20, Mr. Number 1478. The Need for Simplicity and Consecration in Schoolwork, Audio. This morning I will put my trust in God. We have had much consultation in regard to our future work, for, as we consider matters, perplexities present themselves. Our school work is a very important, sacred work. It must advance, but its simplicity must and will prove its success. The light given me is that the crib must not be placed too high. We must have the simplicity of the apostles. If we walk humbly with God in prayer and in faith, we can and will advance. But our hearts must blend in unity and love. Not one thread of selfishness must be woven into the school fabric. This is a missionary enterprise, and our counsel and help must come from God. We must pray. Our hearts must be emptied of self, for just as soon as self gains the supremacy, the Spirit of God is quenched. We must pray more, and walk more humbly and more by faith. Christ was perfect in his humanity, and the more faith we have in him as our sufficiency, the more humbly we walk with God, and the more entire our consecration, the less intrusion of self will there be between God and man. The grace of Christ must be an abiding presence in the soul day by day. Only thus can we endure the seeing of him who is invisible. Christ came to our world to manifest God to men, to lead men to God. "I am the light of the world," he declared. What was it that consecrated him the light of the world? It was this. He came down from heaven. He is the true teacher sent from God. He was the one chosen to reveal God's character to the world. He is the bright and morning star. He is the sun of righteousness, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of his people Israel. John declared of him, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." We may ask of our Lord, knowing that we shall receive. We need more of Christ's humility and meekness, that we may have fervent charity among ourselves. Then we may pray, then we may intercede with God. Thus we shall prove the truth of the word. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. But those whom the Lord would use are in great danger of getting on human stilts. There is earnest work to be done. There is need of walking with God. Then tracts right to the point will be issued. Prayer and faith will do what no power upon earth can accomplish. We need not be so anxious and troubled. The human agent cannot go everywhere and do everything that needs to be done. Often imperfections manifest themselves in the work, but if we show unwavering trust in God, not depending upon the ability or talent of men, the truth will advance. Let us place all things in God's hands, leaving him to do the work in his own way according to his own will, through whomsoever he may choose. Those who seem to be weak God will use if they are humble. Human wisdom, unless daily controlled by the Holy Spirit, will prove foolishness. We must have more faith and trust in God. He will carry his work out with success. Earnest prayer and faith will do for us what our own devising cannot do. We need to prepare the way of the Lord, according to the light given. We need to have a new experience. We need to offer praise and thanksgiving to God, not only in the congregation, but in the home life. Let the voices of his heritage be heard recounting the works of the Lord. Speak of his goodness, tell of his power. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire but thee. We need more songs of praise and less murmuring and complaining. We feel depressed, greatly depressed, as we see the world and its wickedness. The professed Christian world is enveloped in the darkness that covers the earth. We sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in the land. Why is it that all this wickedness does not break forth in decided violence against righteousness and truth? It is because the four angels are holding the four winds, that they shall not blow upon the earth. But human passions are reaching a high pass, and the Spirit of the Lord is being withdrawn from the earth. Were it not that God has commanded angelic agencies to control the satanic agencies that are seeking to break loose and to destroy, there would be no hope. But the winds are to be held until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. We are not to be ignorant of the prophecies. We are not to be wise in our own conceit, lest blindness come upon us, and we stumble and fall. If we are wise in this way, we do not represent the truth as it is in Jesus. We must look carefully, that we do not dishonor God by our unbelief. Amid the moral darkness, light is to shine forth in clear, distinct rays. There shall come forth out of Zion a deliverer who shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. See Romans 11 verse 26. But every soul needs to turn his face toward the light that he may reflect this light. We need to praise God much more than we do. We are to show that we have cause of rejoicing. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are we doing this as fully as we should? Are we revealing that love in the home that will honor and glorify our Redeemer? However black the clouds that roll upon the world at the present time, there is light beyond. Ignorance, superstition, darkness, unbelief strong and masterful, will meet us at every step we advance. But our faith must soar above all, and see the bow of promise encircling the throne. We must reflect the light with pen and voice, praising God before the world. We must remember that Christ's work is our work. The message from God's word is, He hath sent me to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. What is our work? Christ declared, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. In our schools we have a very special work to do in educating and training workers. We must hold fast to God, praying to him to do that work that mortals cannot accomplish. The gospel message must be born in this locality. The work done in this school will be carried far and near, even to the ends of the earth. There are tracts of this moral wilderness that will be added to the garden of the Lord. The church must work, and everyone who names the name of Christ must depart from all selfishness and from all iniquity. Those who compose the church must become full of life and vitality. Then regions of unsightly barrenness and drought will be made like the garden of the Lord.